Welcome to Headlines. This is David Lichtenstein in the Yeshiva Shalmaila, and this week we have a wonderful program. It's going to be almost all halacha, burial in Eretz Yisrael. How important is it? Do we, you know, somebody, Rachman Otzvan, has a parent, who was nifter, somebody they love, and they want to be buried. They think they're doing a fantastic thing. So they run to the bank, they do withdrawals, they borrow on their credit card. Now, the same person, I don't know, maybe they're behind on the yeshiva tuition. Maybe their child needs to have some, dental work that they can't afford. Maybe they have a son or in school or in yeshiva or in kol. Well, how important is it? Are you doing the ultimate, chus for the nifter and we do anything? It's kibud av. It's just, people get very passionate, or guess what? It ain't so, and you're really just spending a lot of money on something Rav Henkin calls you're robbing the widow and the orphans, something that Rabbi Yankiv says is damage to the mishpacha. The answers will surprise you, and one of the reasons is there hasn't been that much written about this in halacha, because let's face it, except for Yaakov Avinu and Yosef and a few people, but the majority, there was no way to get people to Eretz Yisrael before the jet plane, right? So this is sort of like a new body of halacha, and there hasn't been much written about it. I think a lot of the answers will surprise you. So before you run into debt and decide to make some questionably wise, investments and, or et cetera, you should listen to what's up. Who do we have this week? We have Harav Daniel Neustadt. He's the Rav of Pine River Village in Lakewood. He's the Yoshev Rosh of the Vad HaRabbanim of Detroit. He's one of the wise Rabbanim in America. We've had many Rabbanim here on the program. He is one of America's wise Rabbanim. That's with a capital W. We have Rabbi Avram Cohn. He's the Rav of Oyev Yisrael in Muncie, the former editor of the journal for many years, the Journal of Halachic Contemporary Society. And then we will have Rabbi Elchanan Zon. He's the president of the National Association of Chevra Kadisha. And he's going to tell us that a burial in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, in a Har Tamir, where most people go, is 400%, read my lips, 400% the cost of a first-class burial here in America. And by the way, some of the things we're curious, and if any of our court listeners could inform us, is it costs $25,000 for a plot in Har Tamir. What do they charge an Israeli? We know they're not charging Israelis $25,000, right? And everybody in Eretz Yisrael is getting buried. So the question is, are they really being buried in very secondary places, or are they ripping off the Americans? And why is that Nagei al Halach? I'll tell you why. Because the halach is by hidr mitzvah, let's say you do ad shlish. You're supposed to, if an esrik it costs, $300 or a nice talus is $300, spend up to $400 on it, a third. The halach is mulgav, mulbar, but let's say a third. $300 for that talus, spend $100. Let's say there's a guy by the talus store and he says, big strong guy, he has an M for mafia on his upper lip, and he says, you want to buy the talus, guess what? It's $300 for the talus and another $1,000 for me to let you into the store. Well, if you spring for that $1,000, are you even being mekayim hid the mitzvah? Like, is that you're getting a better talus? Or some mafioso, you're paying his thing? Now, so I have readers, they write me, they said, how come everybody who works, who owns the burial plots in Yerushalayim, all the nonprofits drive Mercedes Benzes? I don't know if that's true or not. But the question is, if indeed it's some type of a holdup for Americans, is it even hiddur mitzvah? So assuming it is a mitzvah, which we're going to have a debate about that, is it even a hiddur mitzvah? So that's what we're going to be discussing this week. Before we start, I'd like to start with a thought on the parsha. So this is the Sefer of Geula Shmais, Ramban. Ramban writes in the Hagdamah. So think of this. The last Chumash Bereishis starts off with a story. Who's the story? The story of exile from Gan Eden, leaving Gan Eden, fleeing Gan Eden. We've never found our way back. Who does it start with? A woman, Chava. And how does the Torah portray her? As somewhat weak. She's convinced she's mafuta by the Nachash. She's seduced by the Nachash. He tells her all these stories. He says, you could have it so much better. You could be Leah's Kelly Kim, Yedea Toivara. He has it. He's fooling you. You're missing the good life. Right, the eights, what does she say? It's Toiv L'Michael, it's Nechba. There's a much better life out there than you have. Nah, you think you have it good. Your neighbor has it much better. Hashem has it much better. You're being fooled. And she doesn't really have confidence in who she is. And Chazal talked disparagingly of her. And what happens? And because of that, we go into Gullus. And what is the Gullus? An endless search for who we are. Vayis by Shashu. That's what it says. Before the chait is layis by Shashu. After the chait, hypersensitive, who we are, trying to get affirmation from everybody. That's what, after the chait, the Rambam writes, Ms. Madison Avenue got a hold of us. Social media, am I as good as you? Before that, that was the eating from the Ezat. She was very weak. How does Sefer Shemay start? Totally different. Geula, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi. What does it say? Yocheved said, he said, I can't bring children into a world where their lives are at stake, Amram said. And Yocheved looked at him and she said, yes, you can. Yes, we can. What does Rashi say? She said to him, you're worse than Parai. Here's the strong person, the Jewish woman, the mother, taking a stand. That's how the Sefer of Gula starts. And the next woman who shows up is Miriam, the older sister, the guardian. Is everything okay? Looking out for the younger siblings, looking out for the brother. Shifren Pua, Vatirana Mialdis is Elikim. Their lives were in danger. They said, we're not intimidated. We will do what we think is right. The next woman, Basya, Vatishlacha Samasa. What do all the Bali Musa say? Her hand grew 100 yards long. How did that happen? They said, because she wanted so much, so strongly to save this child, to do the right thing. They said, if you really, really try, guess what? Your abilities will grow. Where there's a will, there's a way. Basya taught us that. And who did... Tzipira. Moshe's all flustered. The snake is attacking him. He's the husband. He's in a panic. The wife, Tzipira, steps up. And ultimately, what does Chazal say? Who is the geula because of? Because of the Nashim Tzidkaniyeh Shabai Seder. Right? All the women who had the courage to look beautiful, to talk their husbands into continuing, into raising families when it was the most dire future looked ahead for them. Gullus starts with a woman who doesn't know who she is. Geula, all these women, they knew who they were. They believed in themselves. They believed in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's where Geula starts with. How did they do it? How do we become stronger? Let's learn from these women. It says they used the Mares Hatzavais, their mirrors. And Chazal say they used those mirrors. The Torah says they used those to make the kiyar. To enter into the sanctuary, they use their mirrors, makeup mirrors. That sounds a little strange. You know, in seminary today with sneeze, no makeup mirrors. Because I'll say the makeup mirrors is what they used. So let me give you a little bit of a thought. You can look outward all the time. How is he doing? How am I doing compared to this? How is this? You know, there's just a study now that they say that Facebook and social media is destroying our children, or those who have Facebook. Because they're constantly comparing themselves to others. How am I compared to you? Do I look as good as you? Am I as smart as you? Did I get into the same yeshiva? Did my kids get into the same yeshiva as you? Did shidduch? Was my shidduch as good as yours? Where was your last chasana? Does it compare to... They said that's what... constant comparing to others. That's where Gullah starts. Gula. The Maris Hatzaves, they took a mirror and they looked into themselves, these Nashim Tzidkaniyeh. And what did they do? They looked back at themselves and they took a personal inventory. We're in great danger from Parai. The world is scary. It's a very scary place. It's a frightening place. Can I handle it? And they looked in a mirror and they said, you know what? Look at yourself. I can handle it. I know I'm smart. I know I make good decisions. I know I'm tough. I know I'm able to. And the mirror, the Balatanya writes, not only can you see yourself, you can see behind yourself, you can see way past yourself. They said, what, we're in danger? Look where I come from. Miroish Tsurim Erenu, Megivoy Sashurenu. I come from Avram Avinu. What did they try to do to Avram Avinu? They tried to bake him, burn him, drown him, sickness, self-sacrifice, war against the five kings, everything you could try to do to Avraham, steal his wife, steal his field, everything you could try to do to Avraham has been done to my ancestor. And you know what? They weren't able to do him. I come from very, very tough DNA. That's how the Nefesh HaChaim writes in Avos. The Klal Yisrael comes from the toughest DNA. Asara Nisyonis Nisnasa Avram Avinu. Our father went through everything. Avinu, that's the point. Chaim Voloshin says, we come from, that's what these women said. They said, don't say you can't. You can. Geula starts with the Jewish woman who says, you can. She stands up to her husband and she says, you can. And, you know, I'll tell you something interesting the Medrash says. The Medrash talks about the power of women. So the Medrash says, one of the cheshbonos of Chava, and it doesn't say she was wrong about this, why she was, you know, felt that she could take it. She jumped in. She took the lead over Adam. He says, everything in my Bereishis, the later you were born, the greater you were. First you have the grass, daimim, first the earth. What's greater than earth? Plants, you know, let's face it, have a bigger chashivas than rock, is vegetation, etc. What's greater than daimim is tzemeach. What's greater than tzemeach is chai. The cow eats the grass. The medaber is Adam. Adam rules over creatures. So the later you were created, the more special you were, the more sophisticated you were, the more faculties you had. See, the Medrash says, what the woman said, I was created last. In some way, she, you know, anybody who's married knows. I'll tell you a funny story. I was once in Texas. I did a transaction there. And the seller was an Eina Yehudi, was Nishvan Unzara. And after we closed the transaction, he says to me, he says, you know, I don't know what it is about the Jewish guys, he says, you know, my lawyer was a Jew, your lawyer was a Jew, the banker who came down was a Jew. He says, what is it with the Jewish guys? Like, how are they so successful? He looks at me, he says, Dave, what do they feed them? And I looked at him and I said, you know, the Jewish guys are all married to Jewish wives. So this week's parsha is really a celebration of the woman who could look back at her inventory, which is really, in a little way, what we do when we make the Birchas HaShachar every morning. What's the purpose of the Birchas HaShachar? Yes, the Rebbeinu Shalom takes care of me. He clothes me. I have feet. I can stand. I'm smart. I can do. The Maris HaTzaveis. Everybody, take out a mirror today and take out a pen and paper. And if we want to learn from these women, what do? Write down about yourself your 10 strongest points. What makes you good? That personal inventory, look at it, believe it, that's the beginning of Geula. Let's go now to our topic for the week, which is Kfur Neretz Yisrael. Before we start and go to our guests, I do want to give a little prelude, because we're going to be throwing around a lot of, Gemaras and stuff. So I'm going to give you a very short, abbreviated, these are, what are those called, those notes you have for tests? I forgot, it's been a long time since I've been in school. The Cliff Notes, the Kfur Neretz Yisrael, that's what it's called. So it starts with a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that there's a Machlokes. Rav Bar Koyi said, oh my goodness, they bring the Mesim to Eretz Yisrael, Vatitamu es Artzi, that's what he says. And it's Machlokes in Yerushalmi. Is it a good... his name is Rabbi Bar Kiryoi, and Reb Leza having a Thailand Beisterin, and they saw all people bring Levias, maybe from Egypt. So he says, the Nachalti Shamtam Latayeva. Well, I'm sorry, I've cut this out, my producer. Let me just, okay. He says, Vatavoyu Vatitamu es Artsi Bemisa Sechem. He says, you're coming, you're being Matama, my land. And the other man, the Reb Leza, said, no. When they come to Eretz Yisrael, it's a kapara, it says v'chipar ad masei amai. So he says it's a bezayin to Eretz Yisrael. Who else agrees with this? The Zayar, in many places, the Zayar in Parshas Vayechi, says if you bring, same thing, you bring a mace to Eretz Yisrael, tamon taninon, v'tavoyu v'titamu es artzi, v'nachlasi samtem l'tayeva. The Zayar in Parshas Truma, v'kuf memalof amid beiz, the Zayar in Parshas Achrei Mois, Which is why, by the way, many Chassidim go after the Zayar, like the Divrei Yael, the last Satmar Rebbe. He refused to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He said, why would I want to go against the Zayar? Rav Sternbuch, when he was asked this question, he says, look, there are so many Shittas that are against it. You have the Yerushalmi, you have the Zayar. He said, why enter yourself into a suffix of Atitamu Esartzi? Not a good thing. It's not like one says it's good and one says it's nu-nu. One says it's a bad thing. In the Bavli, in Ksubis, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Rav Anan says, he says, like the other sheet in the Rishalmi, Kala cover Beret Yisrael, it's like he's covered Tachas HaMizbeach. So he says, Rabbi Leza said to him, it's not true. So he says, Rabbi Leza argues, and he says, somebody who is buried Michayim, somebody who lives there Michayim, it's a schus. Lachar Misa, it's okay, it's also a schus. In other words, let me give some time to this. The Gemara says in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, whoever lives in Chutz Laretz is doim mekamisha ke'ein lo yaleha. It's like he doesn't have a god. So the Gemara is putting it in context. Rabbi is saying, he's saying, your whole life you lived in America or in Europe, wherever it may be, and you could have come. It's not like you were an oinus. Elamai, it didn't bother you so much. Now you're coming running to Eretz Yisrael, achamisa. That's a tamu esarti. That's not a good. He says, so Rabbi said, it's, of course it's better to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but if you didn't live there, Michayim, it's also good. Exactly what it is, it's not clear. Now, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam neither bring it as a mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samach Yimel, I believe, says that you can, Allah is ein mefanen es hameis. You're not supposed to move a mace. It's disrespectful. To bring a Eretz Yisrael, you can. So clearly the Shulchan Aruch holds, like the Gemara in Ksubis, that something good it is, but it doesn't bring it as any type of a mitzvah. I mean, nor does the Magen Avram, where he brings in Chelik Beis, and Mishnah, he brings all the places where they're in Yonim. He does not bring Kfura in Eretz Yisrael as any type of a mitzvah at all. The first of the Achrayim who seems to say that it is a mitzvah is the Maral Bach. He says that it is a mitzvah, and he does away with he says we paskin like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi. He's not really geiris desire in this factor, etc. And so we see there's a disagreement. And many of the Achrayim, when did it become popular? It became popular when Eretz Yisrael, post 48, and they already had airfare, you know, you could pay it. So the first Rabbanim who wrote on it was Rav Henkin. And Rav Henkin writes in Kisvei HaGoyin Rav Eliyahu, we'll have all Almar Mekaymus, as usual, we will have Almar Mekaymus online, all Almar Mekaymus, I get thanks, all Rabbanim, or anybody who wants to go through it, you're welcome to, we wish them all, we do all the work for you. And we put, by the way, most of the comments online, unless somebody expressly asks not, we put the comments online to those who agree, and again, those who strongly disagree, you can get them at headlinestorah.com, headlinestorah.com. So Rav Henkin writes about Ribui Haitzah Sal Kvura. He says, I want to be mayor on this, that is this spashit, this new thing of making kfura and fancy matzevis. He says, who allows this? He says, and kolshken, he says, until midi chachamim and yeshivas takulam taira, who allowed to be mevazvez, to waste mois hegdish alzeh? He says, by gedolei hadoyer, that it's a kavod haTorah, and it's goyrim to ribui harbatzos Torah b'Yisrael, he says, maybe you could do it. He says, b'acherim, listen to his lashon, ein ze hagoyin. It's not correct. He says, especially those who didn't want to live in Eretz Yisrael during their lives. And he brings this medrash in Vayechi. The medrash says, v'titamu esartzem. So he says, if your father left you mois, and you don't want to lose the monies, he says you should not follow the popular ignorant appeal to go to Eretz Yisrael. He says use the money for better things. Use it for tzedakah, maisim, tovim, to be taimich yeshivas, etc. He puts it on the category of 1 to 100, 100 being the least important, then 1 being the most important. He puts it at 100, Rav Henkin. And in another tshuva, There's also Kisfer of Henkin Chelik Beis. It's Tshuva Gimel. He says, I don't agree with that at all. Loi nichali zeklal at all. And he says, the Chavis Halvavis says, he says, don't make Tzeseses greater than the Iker. You know, we just spoke about Chava. What does it say about Chazal say? It's, she said, don't touch the tree. He said, don't eat from the tree, Kaviyachal. The Nachash said, don't touch. He says, the downfall starts when we start making the Tufel greater than the Iker. Adamarishan Kaifer B'Iker Haya. He made the Tufel greater than the Iker. So much so, you know, we take the Chumris, you know. I heard a Rav say a speech recently. He says that he's Makbid, that when he shakes hands with somebody who's not an Adam Kusher, he runs to the mikveh. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. There's a lot of halachas in the Shulchan Aruch you have to do. And will you ever over a Lashon Hara, which is 17 Arurim, etc., before you start going to the mikveh because you shook the wrong person's hand? So he says, don't make the Tzeseses bigger than the Iker. Did you pay all your are your kids taken care of? Are they worried? Do you have their health care, etc.? You're running to do something that's a chumrah of Gedolei Hadar. And listen to his lashon. He says, V'chayshveni sheyesh b'ze mishum gezel almana and yisaimim. Because let's face it, 90% of the times people die is almana and yisaimim. He says, you're stealing from almanas and yisaimim. And he brings the story of Reb Gamliel. When they made burial very expensive, Reb Gamliel said, I want to be buried in the cheapest of clothing, big day pishtan. Why? To set an example. Don't make kfura expensive. And by the way, I would like to ask, we have a good listenership here. We had on Rabbi Zon Wigan here. He says that they charge $8,000 for a chapel for a levaya. I want to ask you something. $8,000 for one day? I mean, I'm leaving real estate. I'm going to go into the chapel business. They have in Shomer Hadass 3 levayas a day. That's $25,000. Is the cost to keep a mace there $25,000? If somebody has some insight on this, please let me know. Our goal is we don't want to be held up by gangsters. Let's find out. So these are the shittas. Reb Moshe was against it. And additionally, the only one who was very for it, or rather, he argued under Moshe, is the great Rabbi Avadya Yosef, certainly one of the greatest, the greatest Sardi from Moshe Ad Rabbi Avadya, who was like him, who had such a Rabim Heshev Meyavin, who had such an effect on the world. He writes very glowingly for it. So those are the shittas. I'm giving you a very Cliff Notes version. Let's go to our wonderful guests.
We have the honor of having with us on the phone Rabbi Daniel Nusset, who's the Rav of Pine River Village in Lakewood. He's the Einikel of Rabbi Yankiv. He's the editor and publisher of the Emes LeYankiv. He was previously Rav of Detroit. Welcome, Rabbi Nusset.
Hello. Good evening.
So, Rabbi Nusset, many people, I when I say many, I don't know the number. It could be as many as 50%. Of people who today are Nifter in America, send their parents, whatever the case may be, over to Eretz Yisrael for Kvura. And I understand it's quite expensive. I know that when my in-laws were buried in Eretz Yisrael, between the Mekaymis on Har Menuches and the Hevra Kaddish, et cetera, it was probably $75,000, plus including airfare. And it was just a lot of money. There are many people who $75,000 could be a lot of money to them. I mean, per person, it could be $35,000. The plot itself could be $35,000 plus airfare, plus Chevra Kadisha, double, etc. And people, Chayvivei mitzvahs, Kal Yisrael do anything for a mitzvah. Look what parents go through, backbreaking effort to keep their children in Kol. Kal Yisrael, that's what we are about, is Kiyama mitzvahs. So my question is, given, you're standing a Rav, of an eminent Rav from an entire city, and one of the Chashuva Rabbanim, give us a feeling, how much effort should somebody make when an elderly parent dies and they leave over some money, or they don't, to send a parent or somebody else to Kfura in Eretz Yisrael?
Well, to compare this Inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael to some of the other mitzvahs that you mentioned, like paying tuition, for Talmud Torah, it's really not an analogy. Paying tuition is a requirement. It's not. It's something that you have to do. It's mitzvah aseh deraisa. When it comes to having somebody buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's no mitzvah. One does not perform or fulfill any mitzvah by doing that. At most, it's an inyan. It's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of money. But it's not an obligation, and one does not get any mitzvah for being buried in Eretz Yisrael. As a matter of fact, it's quite controversial, and there's some who hold that it should not even be done. So if a person wants to do it and he has the money to do it, or if the deceased left specific instructions that he wants to go there, so then, yeah, I guess it's a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, if you could afford it. But there's no mitzvah per se. There's no obligation, and quite possibly it may not even be a good thing according to some opinions.
So, Sir Rav Neustadt, let me ask you. You know, we just finished Vayechi Shmais, right, this week in Vayechi, and what did he say? Simna yotcha tachas yerechi, right? Don't bury me in Eretz Yisrael, right? Take me to
in the tribe.
Take me to Eretz Yisrael. Klartani b'kburasam. Yaakov Avinu was mishtakik to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It was his last request. And seemingly because of this, he said, it's not too sure because of this, but it seems to imply because of this tircha, some of the Rishayim say, why would Yaakov go through such effort for something that is not a mitzvah?
It's an inyan. There's no question that he had, first of all, Rashi brings down in the name of the Medrash that he had specific reasons. He was worried about the kinim. He was worried about his makam kvura to become a place of avodah zarah. He had specific reasons that he wanted, specifically in his case, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And most importantly, the real reason why he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to be buried is because he was worried about the future generations. They're going to become assimilated in Mitzrayim. They're not going to know that they really belong in Eretz Yisrael. So he felt that the best way that you could connect yourself to the land is if your forefathers are buried over there, so the future generations in Mitzrayim will know we don't belong here. We belong elsewhere. Our great Zaydi is buried in Eretz Yisrael. So he had a lot of specific reasons why that needed to be done. On the contrary, we see that he had to go out of his way to ask Yosef to do it, but Yosef wouldn't have done it otherwise. This is a specific case under certain circumstances which were important. But it's not a mitzvah for anybody else. It might be an Indian, but it's not a mitzvah.
And how do you understand the Gemara in Ksubis? I think it's Kuvav or Kufir Aleph, that the Gemara says, Amar Avchana, and he says, whoever's buried in Eretz Yisrael, Kilu Nikbar Tachas HaMezbeach, Ksiv V'chiper Admasai Amai. I mean, that sounds pretty serious.
Right. It sounds like it's a good thing to do. It sounds like it's an Indian, but again, it doesn't say anything about a mitzvah. A person does not get a mitzvah. It doesn't get specific schar for doing it. There's a big difference between a mitzvah and an inyan. So that's first of all. Secondly, the Gemara also brings out another opinion over there, that Einu Doimei Klotasei Mechayim K'Klotasei L'Achar Misa. The Gemara brings out two opinions, and the other opinion of the Gemara is that it's not the same. People should be living in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is for the living, not just after one dies. So the Gemara is actually saying that it's not such a good thing. It's not such a, Indian. The person who wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, great, but move there when you're alive. But to bring the body after death, you don't see from that Gemara that it's important, at least not according to all opinions. I mean, the Zohar is very clear that it's a negative thing. The Zohar says that to voyu, but to tamu is artsy, that it goes on a person that brings his dead body to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. We call that but the tamu is artsy, you defiled the land. So again, there are opinions on both sides of the issue, and there are sources for both sides, and those that go to Israel have certainly who to rely upon, but you can't make a mitzvah out of it, and you can't make it into a chiv or something that is, if you have no money, like it would be forbidden, in my opinion, to raise money for that. It's not a tzedakah. It would not be considered a tzedakah.
And what was your grandfather, Reb Yankiv, I know is buried. I've been to his cave many times off the interstate in Brooklyn. What was his opinion about being buried in Eretz Yisrael? Queens,
not
sorry,
pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was not pro. He was not pro. Neither was Reb Moshe. Neither was Reb
Henkin. And why?
Why
did your grandfather, why did he, what are the reasons that he stated?
Well, actually, in his case, what he said was, the most important place to be buried is so that the kids should be able to come and visit by the yard sites and other occasions. And for him to go be buried in Eretz Yisrael, where his kids are living in America, he felt is the completely not menschlich. And that was the major, that's the reason that he said to the family. There may have been other reasons. I did not hear from him, so I can't say. But that was the reason that he said to the family. He wants that the kids should have access to his kever.
It's a question of a chibur with avos. It's a connection to the avar. It's a connection to the shayrish, he felt.
Well, he felt that the kids, right, that the kids should have a place to go when they need, right?
The famous story, could you maybe recount us the famous story? I'm sure many of our listeners have heard it, but I'd like to hear it closer to the source. About the time Reb Yankif was on a plane and one of his einikoch was being mishamish him. You know what I'm referring to, right?
Sure.
Could you say it over?
Yeah.
Let's hear it more directly from the Shirish. Such an incredible story.
Yeah. He was being, it was actually not his einikoch. It was actually my father-in-law who was being mishamish him. They were going in 1980 to the Knessia Gedolah in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. And it was actually my father-in-law who was mishamish him hand over foot, which
that's,
is what
that's
he
Reb,
excelled
the Reb Shmuel.
No, that's Reb Avraham Kamenetsky. He's no longer alive.
Reb Avraham Kamenetsky.
That's the youngest son.
Yeah.
That's the youngest son.
Okay.
That's the youngest.
Yeah.
So it was sitting next to him. It was sitting the Yerucha Meshel. Yerucha Meshel was the head of the Histadrut at that time, the Israeli Labor Union. And he just, after a while, he just, you know, he says he couldn't contain himself any longer. He says, he asked Reb Yankif, how do you get such covered and such derech eretz from the younger generation? By us, the older generation means you're over the hill. You don't count for anything. It's all about youth. And here, I see the exact opposite. What did you instill in them? Like, how did this happen? So he said, you just couldn't get over such a dedication. So Bianca told him that the famous line that it depends how where you're coming from. If you're coming from Har Sinai, so then the closer you are to Har Sinai, if you believe in Matan Torah Har Sinai, so the closer we are to Har Sinai, the holier and the more important we are, because we're still connected. We still have a vestige, a little remaining connection. Every generation removed from Har Sinai is a generation lower. You read the Sederis. Whereas if you come from monkeys, so then as you are going away from your monkey source, you're higher. So therefore, youth is more important than older people because they're more developed, more modern, and more ahead of the game. So it all depends on that. That's what he explained to him.
So the chibur to the avos, Reb Yankif felt, was very important, and that's why he felt, that's why he believed in being buried in the... What was Reb Moshe?
I'm not sure what you mean by chibur, the access, to have access, to be able to go there. There's a tzara in the family, there's a chayli, there's a yard site. You want to go daven by the kever. He held that that's the most important thing.
And what did Reb Moshe hold?
Reb Moshe also was against it. He himself ended up there for certain reasons, I don't know. But people who counseled him, I know people who asked him, he did not counsel to go.
And I'm curious, why did he end up there, which was such a loss to America? One of the biggest losses America had is that we can't be Gobi Mespal by Reb Moshe all the time.
I agree. It was not his doing, I can tell you that much. There were certain things in the parts of the family that wanted it. I don't have this from first source, so I don't know. But the Satmar Rav, of course, is on record being very against it. He writes about it in Divrei Yoel many times. And there's an interesting truth from Reb Henkin. Reb Henkin says that he doesn't forbid it, but he strongly advises against it. And he says that... Yeah, what?
Go ahead, Rabbi.
Yeah,
Rabbi Neustadt, I'll tell you that my number one complaint, and I get a lot of calls, is they say, you know, Mr. Lichtenstein, why are you always interrupting your guests? So I apologize. Finish up.
No problem. So Rabbi Henkin writes that he quotes a Chavis al Zavis, that a bonus is not given unless the debt is paid. which means that you don't do the bonus before the ikar. You know, this is a tuffel. This is extra special. This is the dessert. But there's more important things than that. And therefore, if a person has limited funds, and you should absolutely not spend it on that, but you should give it to things that you have to do more. He writes very strongly that if somebody does it against the widow and the orphans, they just do it because they think it's important. He says, I consider that stealing from the widow and the orphans that you're taking money for this thing. Because, again, he didn't hold it to be important. And he didn't say it's usur, but he certainly did not advise it for most people. Only for tzaddikim,
so
he writes. Yeah.
So where did it come from? Where did this, it's sort of like a new fashion, an I am mother, you
right.
know, it never used to be, and it became like a, it never happened before. I mean, go to Eretz Yisrael, you know, you walk into there's nobody, before the last 50 years, there was nobody brought from Chutzlar, it's practically, it was a tiny number, you know, the Rambam, the Nes,
right.
But where did this come from?
Well, in most of our history, it wasn't really an option, because before planes, you really couldn't take the body there by ship, by boat. It wasn't really Negev. So it's only Negev since after the war.
Well, the Rajba talks about already, Chuvas HaRajba, about putting Sid on a mace so that the Basar is this akel and you bring the bones to Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
It could have been done, but in a different fashion.
Right, that's not so practical. But today it became easy and somewhat cheap, you know, for people that have money. And it sounds like a very good thing. And there is good things about it. Again, there is an aspect of kapara that the Gemara talks about. And the Rambam also hedges about it. If you take a look in the Rambam, he says that the G'dayle HaChachamim used to go to it, which means that I understand the Rambam to mean that it's only for the G'dayle HaChachamim, that everything else is perfect in their lives, and this is the little bit more that they're missing, this little kapara, so then it's something. But if a person is a Rasha, it's going to help you to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You think that Herzl gets a kapara because he's buried in the Har Herzl? I don't think so.
And what about a Beinoni?
No, the Rambam says G'dayle HaChachamim. Rav Henkin writes, the great Tamid HaChachamim who are world-renowned for their meticulous observance of mitzvahs, both the easy ones and the harder ones. It is fitting and proper to bring them to burial in Eretz Yisrael, as were Yaakov and Yosef. That's what he writes. And that's he doesn't write his source, but I assume it's the Rambam.
Right.
Because the Rambam says G'dayle HaChachamim. So,
Rabbi Neustadt, thank you for giving us over the Messiah that you heard from Yehali Gazeda, that you're Makabel from Rav Moshe, that you heard from Rav Henkin. Thank you for sharing it. I think that many people who can't afford this will be relieved by hearing the strength with which you put forth this position.
Okay. Thank you very much.
We have on the phone with us from Muncie, New York, Rabbi Avram Cohn. He's the Rav of Congregation Oyev Yisrael in Muncie. He's the former editor for many years of the Journal of Contemporary Halacha. Welcome, Rabbi Cohn.
My pleasure.
I forgot to mention a Talmud of Chaim Berlin, a Talmud of Agoyin Rabbi Yitzhak Kutner, who I also consider my Rebbe, certainly. I don't know if he considered me a Talmud, but I considered him a Rebbe. Welcome, Rabbi Cohn. So, Rabbi Cohn, you wrote an article a few years ago about burial in Eretz Yisrael, and being that this parasha talks about, you know, Yaakov Avinu's shuka, shtoikas, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, I thought it would be a very current topic. Could you give us a little bit of a synopsis of what your conclusions were?
The journal which had it was the fall of Sukkot of 5759, the fall of 1998, and it's on page 22. And actually, there are various opinions. It's not as simple cut as one sounds. It all begins with the Yerushalmi. It's Perek, the end of Perek Tes Halacha Dalid in the Yerushalmi of Klayim. Gemara discusses how Rabbi Bar Kriri and Rebbe Elazar were walking and they saw a person who had lived in Chutz La'aretz coming to Eretz Yisrael, and they basically had a difference of opinion. One opinion was about the Tova, about the Tama Arzi, who needs it, they're coming to be Metama the land. The other one held the V'chi Per Admosei Olecho. Okay, there actually are two opinions. You find the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph also talks about how everybody involved in Tchias HaMesim will have to be in Eretz Yisrael. And there is something which is called Gilgal. And there are different opinions now as to exactly what happens. Opinion number one is that it's a great idea to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That was probably articulated best by the Chelkas Yaakov. The Chelkas Yaakov is in Chela Gimel, it's Kuf Mem Beis, where the Chelkas Yaakov was of the opinion that everybody agrees that it's wonderful to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Biggest raya seems to be from the fact that normally we do not have Pinuy Atzomus. Pinuy Atzomus is when someone is buried, that's where they remain, except for very, very few exceptions. One of the exceptions is to go to Eretz Yisrael. Well, if one of the exceptions is to go to Eretz Yisrael, evidently you see that it's very important to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Further proof is the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Melachim. It's Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Aleph. And the Rambam writes, even though it's far better to be live in Eretz Yisrael and to die in Eretz Yisrael than to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, V'afal pi kein g'doli ha-chachomim ho-yim ha-lichin es miseyem l'shom, tsei l'mad mi-Yakov avinu v'yosef ha-tzadik. What you refer to in this week's Parsha, you have Yaakov and Yosef HaTzadik all wanting to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. On the other extreme is the opinion of Rav Henkin. On the other extreme is the opinion of Rav Henkin, where Rav Henkin and the Kisvei Rav Henkin is Chelik Beis, it's Daf Tzadik Aleph. Rav Henkin is of the opinion that it is really totally contrary to everything that we stand for. Chazal instituted that everybody should be buried with tachrichim in a simple pine box. They wanted to keep down the expenses. The Gemara says it became so expensive to bury people that people were leaving the mesim in the street. So Rabbi Gamliel made a takona. Everybody gets buried the same way. We want to keep the price down. And what has happened now is you have an enormous expense in taking somebody to Eretz Yisrael, which means we are now expending and going contrary to the takona of Rabbi Gamliel. Even though Rabbi Gamliel was of the opinion to keep expenses down, we've now enhanced the expenses. So Rav Henkin was definitely, definitely one of those who was against. So far to say that there are such opinions against that a discussion ensued in regards to moving Moses Montefiore to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he is adamantly against it. Adamantly against it. His tshuva is in Yeridea Chela Gimel, it's Kufnun Gimel, adamantly against it. He says, you see that it's a mitzvah, you can make Pinuy Atzomus to bring someone to Eretz Yisrael. He says, well, that is only on the children and not on anybody else, and it's a bezoyin, and they should not be done. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, on the other hand, was of the opinion that it's a great idea to have Moses Montefiore be brought to Eretz Yisrael. He loved Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to be in Eretz Yisrael. If I might add my own opinion, I would tend to imagine that it really also depends on who we're talking about. There are some people who, by their fiber and their nature, their entire being is they love Eretz Yisrael. They have a tremendous tshuka to go to Eretz Yisrael. They want to be in Eretz Yisrael. Whenever they get an opportunity, they go to Eretz Yisrael. That's one kind of a person. And then, for whatever reason, they can't go. Ezra did not go to Eretz Yisrael as soon as he could. He waited as long as his Rebbe, Reb Baruchan and Ariya, was alive. He waited to go to Eretz Yisrael. But his libi, his heart, was in Eretz Yisrael. That kind of a person I could understand. But what we have now today, which is everybody feeling the pressure of having to make everybody go to Eretz Yisrael, I think we've added an enormous expense. I think our money is spending money where they shouldn't. And if it were up to me, it wouldn't be going on. But I'm not the Pesach Hadar, so I can't really tell you what to do.
So, Rabbi Cole, let me go back over. You downloaded a lot of information there. So let's go back over some of it. The thought is, the Shulchan Aruch does not bring anywhere the concept of a mitzvah to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That's correct, no?
The Shulchan Aruch brings that you can be mefana ameis. In other words, you
it allows it. I'm saying it allows.
Right.
It gives a heter of kibbutz. I believe. I think you mentioned Shabbos Gimel, but it certainly does not bring that there's any mitzvah to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, right?
You don't find it. You do find it in the Rambam, though. Rambam, I quoted, the Rambam does say that there is
such a mitzvah. Yeah, he doesn't say it's a mitzvah. He says that the hacha, and there's a tshuva for Rambam as well. He says that.
Yeah, b'yafal pi kein gzali hachachomim hoyim alichem es miseyim l'shom. Say elamad
miyakal v'din. So here's a question. The question. The Yerushalmi that you quoted, which is also a tanchuma in a number of places, right? It's a tanchuma in Parsha Shmoy, so it's same. It's a little bit of a shina and stuff. Says that, you know, he says, and it says that, you know, why are you bringing the your mesim to Eretz Yisrael? So it seems to imply that if somebody could have lived here and they didn't, it's one thing. But somebody who had the opportunity, you know, that's the shita, and it's a Zohar HaKadosh that I believe the Rabbi Yoel from Satmar, the Satmar Rebbe, which is why he didn't want to. That's very strong. The Zohar HaKadosh says, your entire life you had the opportunity to live at Eretz Yisrael. The same Gemara in Ksubis that you quoted says, the same Gemara in Ksubis that you quoted, it says, Kol hadar b'chutz laretz k'bi daim l'misha ein le'elika. Somebody who lives in chutz laretz is if he's rejecting the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Right, and on the other hand, shakol yeshiva seretz yisrael kakala mitzvah shabbatayra. So here, the Zohar HaKadosh says, you know, during your life when you had the ability to buy an LL ticket, what did you do? You lived in chutz laretz, and you were daima l'misha ein le'elika. Now your body, you want to bring to Israel, to Eretz Yisrael. He says you're making from kodesh chayil, and you're making from chayil kodesh. I mean, to paraphrase Bilam, I remember Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, he said, Thomas Dafshi Mois Yisharim, Nehi Achrisi Kabayim. Where Chaim used to say, Lebed at the Gevalt vi Bilam, he wanted to live like Bilam, of a starved at the Gevalt vi the Avis, he wanted to die like the Avis. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, your whole life you could live in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't want to. You bring the bodies to Eretz Yisrael, and because of that, the Satmar Rebbe didn't do it, and Rav Sternbach, in his Tshuvas Van Hugga, says the same thing. He says, based that we have a Zohar HaKadosh that talks in such a derogatory way about people coming up to Eretz Yisrael just for burial, he says, why would you want to go through this expense to be nichnas into something that the Zohar HaKadosh speaks with such admonition and such a kitrug about? So I think that my point is today there's a new evolution in this where people really have the ability to come to Eretz Yisrael, which somewhat changes the playing field. You know, in the time of, let's say, the Shulchan Aruch, it was very, very difficult to get to Eretz Yisrael. So somebody saying, I want to send the body to Eretz Yisrael was not necessarily being over on the Zohar HaKadosh. Like the Achronim already say that Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He had to leave Eretz Yisrael to Einif. He said, when people could be Mekayim Mitzvah, Yishev Eretz Yisrael, and be Doim Moshe, Sheyesh Lam Olekai, and don't. The Zohar HaKadosh says, why are you bringing bodies to Eretz Yisrael? I think that at a certain level, the playing field has changed in the year 2017. That is my hasafa that I'm adding on to what you say.
I must tell you, if you take a look, Rav Gusman, who I definitely was also a Talmud of his, and at the end of his Sefer in Kedushin, he has that there are two ways that a minik starts in Klal Yisrael. One way the minik starts in Klal Yisrael, we'll talk from the top down. The Rabbonim think it's a good idea, and in order for it to become a minik, it has to have the acceptability of the people, because anything that the people can do, Chazal can't make a takona. Then he writes that there are minhagim that start from the bottom up. The people think it's a great idea. Numerous examples of Tyrus HaMishpacha were instituted by the people, and then Chazal thought it's a good idea, so they went along with it. My opinion, my personal opinion, is this minig has started from the people. And for whatever reason, in the Hasidic community, you don't have this at all. They definitely follow the Zohar. The Satmar Rebbe was not in Eretz Yisrael. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is not in Eretz Yisrael. The Kloisenberger Rebbe, who I don't really know which Beis Olam he's in, but I mean, here's a man who's Chukat Eretz Yisrael. He started Kiryat Sanz. He started the Ladina Hospital. Hasidic community basically indefinitely follows this Zohar that you mentioned. On the other hand, our community has somehow, the people have started doing this. And for whatever reason, the Rosh Hashivas and the Rabbonim are hesitant to just stand up and say, you know, don't do it. Now, I don't know why, but that seems to be what's happened. You're articulating a position which is the people are doing what the people want to do, and nobody is telling them to stop it.
Now, the Kleisenberger Rebbe writes in Divrei Yatzev, I'll post a tshuva on the site. He says, he says it's not loy move loy bishul chadara for loy barambam. I don't know why the Rambam doesn't bring him. He doesn't bring, but that's his lashon. Mitzvah kazu. And he says, afol pisha meviim yesh lachar for fire akadosh, the afol pisha mutter vaday lav mitzvah. That's the lashon of the. Now, I have a different question, and this is an interesting thing. You know, the Biur Halacha discusses, as well as the Shulchan Aruch talks about, Magen Avraham talks about, they used to raise the price of fish, the goyim, when it came near Yom Tov. So even as a din of basav v'dagav v'chol matamim, right? The Magen Avraham in Reish Membeis says that if they're miyakad the dagim, he says, don't eat fish on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings a makor from the Mishnah and Krisis. I forgot who he brings it from. He brings it from one of the Kadmainim. He says that Rabbi Gamliel made that an Isha had to bring a carpet for Yeledes, a kiddim, and it used to be, they raised the price of it. He said, no, stop, bring one for five Yeledes. He brings up a card. We don't want to be, we don't want the mafia to hold us up and extract great prices. That's how he says, look, I'll be being the Yakar Dagim, even though it's part of, you know, Tainik, you know, Einik Shabbos, and Makari brings the carbon lettuce, which is the Raisa. So even for the Raisa, they did not want us to be held at gunpoint. The Mishneh Berurah and Bir Halacha brings in Tafresh Dinvav, he says that the whole din of Hidr Mitzvah Shlish or the Mitzvah Ad Chaimesh is only if that is a fair price. Again, not if somebody is a mafioso. So I have a letter from a guy, and he says, you know, you can buy a kever in Yerushalayim today in Har Manuchas, and it goes for $500 or $600 a square foot, which is basically more than a completed deer in Yerushalayim doesn't go for on a square foot basis what the Chevra Kadisha in Yerushalayim extract from people who want on Har Manuchas. So he says they all drive Mercedes Benz, all of this non-profit, quote unquote. He says it's a gangster thing. So my question would be, even if you held it was a mitzvah, which it doesn't seem anybody really says the Farish it's a mitzvah. Even the Rambam brings it up. He says it's a mitzvah. Inyan gadol, it's a chachamim gadol mumshaki. But even if it was a genuine mitzvah, we have mekoyres at halacha that for a mitzvah you don't allow somebody to pull out a gun and say I'm charging you some exorbitant price. So my question would be, why isn't anybody stood up and say, why is this different than the fish with it? You know, if you buy in the
well, here,
chemist,
because here,
it's
because
one-tenth
here you
the
don't
price
have,
of Yerushalayim. It's a bunch
no,
of
No, because here you don't have the merchants. Here you don't have the merchants in any way putting pressure on anybody to do anything. It is the people. I'm telling you, I think Rav Gusman's Havana is marvelous. It is the people who have decided it's a wonderful thing. And now today, everybody has to keep up with the Joneses to do it.
So Rabbi Cohen, if somebody came to you, Rabbi Cohen,
somebody came to me and asked me, my husband passed away, I am now an almona, and I have X amount of money, it's a matter of sending my husband and burying him in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to paying Schar Limud, I would say definitely bury him here in America and pay Schar Limud. You have to pay your bills. What's happening
continue, I'm sorry.
What's happening here is that the people are just doing it. Every third person that you hear that passes away, the levaya is taking place at this and this time, and the body is being taken to Eretz Yisrael. It's not as if the fishermen are raising the price of fish. It's not as if the airlines are raising the price of the tickets. It's the people on their own are doing it. So it's hard, you know, it's hard to compare it to the mafia.
No, but my point is that they know that Americans will pay this price, right? So they've, in effect, raised the price so beyond what a piece of vacant land should sell for
because they say, hey, we have everybody over the barrel. You know, you want to get in here, you're going to pay through your nose.
Okay.
So I think even if it was a bit, even if it was a bit, so it would be arguable whether it would be a chiyuv. And then, I mean, the question like you is, there's a letter from Rav Aaron Kotel I saw where he actually was asked by somebody in Kletsk whether they should bring the body to Eretz Yisrael at great expense, or in effect they could use the money for other good things. Like you said, maybe schalim, or maybe a kid who's a yeshiva, maybe paying for education. And Rav Aaron Kotel said, absolutely use the money for tzedakah. And
I think anybody who ever learned through the sugar would agree.
Yeah, and there's a tshuva now I saw from Elyashu. We'll put this on the side. He was asked the same question. Elyashu said, mitzvah say in the Torah, the mitzvah of being buried in Eretz Yisrael is not brought in the Torah. Therefore, follow the mitzvahs that say in the Torah, not the ones that don't say in the Torah. Very interesting. It goes so negative. You know, I think a lot of people, we have a way of taking a tussle and turning it into an ikker. It happens, you see it all the time, right?
Well, again, for some reason where you find this happening quite often, the Rosh Hashivas and the Rabbanim are hesitant to tell people not to do it. Now, I'm not clear why, but for some reason they're hesitant to tell them why. You have the same problem with the price of chasanas. It's the exact same situation. People who borrow money to make a chasana for their sons or their daughters at an enormous expense, and why?
So you would equate the two?
I would assume they're both exactly the same. You know, it's a very, very nice thing to make a chasana for one's child, but to go out and to borrow money and to be a balchov and not to be able to pay schar lim and not be able to do anything, why would that be? You can find a number of years ago, I think it was the Aguda Rabbonim who tried to stop the expenses of a chasana. It just never caught on, but...
Well, thank you very much, Rabbi.
This is definitely going to take a very, very strong stand. This is not going to just stop, you know, because it may be true that it should stop. This is going to take a strong stand. Again, the Hasidic community is totally not involved in this. It's all
the... Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky, who was, I believe, a neighbor of yours in Budsey, he had a very strong opinion about it for another reason. I think his opinion was, he says, one of the greatest hysterists that children get is from visiting the caver of a parent. He says if the parent's caver is local, so the children are hysterical many times during the year. A kid has a tzara, a kid has a kala, an exam, a kala has to, before a chasada or a kala. You have somebody's having, they're depressed. They'll go to Kivri Yavis to be bespal. If the caver is 6,000 miles away, he says, well, that hysterist is missing. It's sort of a little bit of a nituk between the parents and the children. That was Rav Yankiv's opinion. We will have Rav Yankiv's grandson talking about that today.
Well,
Rabbi
Pohl,
thank you very much for joining us. Colton.
Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So we have on the phone with us from New York, Rabbi Elchanan Zon, who's the National Director of the Chevra Kadisha, and he's also Director of the Chevra Kadisha of Queens. Welcome, Rabbi Zon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
you
having me.
Why,
what can I do to help?
Rabbi Zon, how much does it cost for a typical burial place here in the United States to do a levaya and buy a plot, put up a headstone here in the United States?
That's a very broad-ranging question. The answer is a very broad range. A levaya right now, across the country at a Jewish funeral home, which is a simple funeral, meaning they're using a plain pine box. There is no viewing. There are no limousines. There are no, obviously, no flowers or anything of that nature. Is probably about $8,000. That is the cost of the funeral itself, and that's probably an average. There are certainly funerals that are much more expensive if they use more expensive caskets, but a simple traditional funeral is about $8,000, I would say, on average across the country. Again, if you're talking about the same exact thing in certain parts of New York, it probably could be a few thousand dollars less than that. And as reasonable as $2,000 to $3,000 if it's not going to be using a hearse, it's going to be a graveside service, and it's going to be a very, very simple funeral. But again, that is only available.
And what about the plot, Rabbi Zohn? If this, you know, in New Jersey, et cetera.
Yep.
The plots really depend on whether someone is a member of a society or a shul, where the plots could be very reasonable, and some memberships actually will provide a plot free. But if you go into a cemetery to purchase a grave, in the New York area now, the lowest you can get it for is about $2,000 to $2,500, and that is just in a couple of places. Most of the places charge about $6,000 to $8,000 for a plot.
And now the same
is a little bit cheaper.
The same levaya taking the person to Har HaMenuchos would cost, how much would the funeral be, and how much would the plot be?
Again, there's a very wide range for the funeral, depending on whether there's
the same,
going to be a levaya.
The same one.
The same exact thing.
Okay.
Now
you have to
talking
about
the body, a levaya.
You
you're talking about a levaya here. The levaya here might be the same $8,000. Might not be any different. Okay, because you're still going to be having everything done here. The chapel is going to be used, but instead of bringing them to the cemetery, you're bringing them to the,
airport.
Okay, so that kind of levaya would be probably identical. The cost of the grave, as far as I know, Har HaMenuchos may not even have graves now unless they're a double depth or above ground. They have some new things they're using.
The Har Tamir, let's say Har Tamir.
Har Tamir, if that's, again, as far as I know, the cheapest grave right now in Har HaMenuchos is about $25,000 and up.
And how much would the plane and doing the levaya, you know, sort of a small levaya there itself?
The plane is, I believe the airfare alone is about over $2,000, about $2,000 and a little bit. There are also, obviously, funeral director costs that deal with getting all the paperwork done to the consulate, going to the airport, making sure that everything is taken care of. I would guess somewhere between $500 and $1,000 for that. And then in Eretz Yisrael, you're talking about a couple of $1,000 that the Chevra Kadisha there is going to require. Depending on where, depending on which Chevra Kadisha, there are differences. But in that range, probably about $2,000 to $2,500 for the Chevra Kadisha in Eretz Yisrael, plus the airfare, which is about $2,000 plus somewhere between $500 and $1,000 for the paperwork at this end that has to be done. So,
and at this rate, somebody usually goes along, right?
Well, there's a family that has to go, or if someone goes along, that again raises the cost dramatically, because usually you're talking about a last-minute ticket, which if the flights are full, could be in the thousands of dollars, because they've got to bump other people to get it done, certainly if more than one person is going. But yeah, that is an additional cost as well if someone is going to accompany the body.
So one would be $40,000 when you add it all up, and what is $8,000? Is that correct?
Well, if you're talking about Har HaMenuchos, Eretz HaChaim, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, which is not in Yerushalayim, which is right outside of Beit Shemesh, is much less. You can get a grave in Eretz HaChaim. In fact, I believe all the graves in Eretz HaChaim cost $8,000 right now. Those prices, I believe, will be going up in the near future, but right now that's what it is.
So, Rabbi Zohn, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Why is a plot in the New York area, you said around, could be $2,000, and in Har HaMenuchos and Har Tamir, it's $25,000? Why is it more than 10 times the price?
Well, it's very simple. It's like everything else in capitalism, it's supply and demand. There is a very, very short supply of graves in Eretz Yisrael, as you see. That they're burying two people in the same grave and they're building graves above ground because there just is no space, specifically in Har HaMenuchos, which is in Yerushalayim and is not Har HaZeisim. Har HaZeisim has a problem that there's a security issue. So people who want to be buried in Har HaMenuchos, either because their family is buried there, and Har HaMenuchos, if you realize, for about 20 years and even before that, there was no access to Har HaZeisim. okay, between 1948 and 1967, there was no access to Harizesim because it was owned by Jordan. So we couldn't get it. It was at least administered by Jordan, so we couldn't get it. And before that as well, people were always afraid to go to Harizesim. So Har Menuchas is very desirable even today.
And who owns it? Who owns Har Tamir?
Different Chevres Kadisha, I believe. I don't know what ownership the state itself has. I cannot say what they provide, what they have to pay the state. But basically, it is controlled by different Chevres Kadisha.
Rabbi Zon, these Chevres Kadishas that own them, basically, I guess like you say, practice capitalism to the best. How much can we get per plot? Is that how it works?
Well, it's not a question of practicing capitalism. There is a very limited supply of graves. If let's say they have 100 graves or 500 graves, I don't know what they have. There may be absolutely none at this
point. There must be Rabbi Zoh. There must be thousands and thousands of graves.
I will
everybody
tell you what they are.
Gets buried.
In Eretz Yisrael right now.
There's 5 to 6 billion Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They're all going to die, weren't they, right?
And as I said to you, they are getting buried in multiple depth graves and in above ground graves. That is what is happening to people that are sure right now, or they may be getting buried outside of these cemeteries. If you're familiar, Har Menuchas just is in the process of developing 22,000 graves. That is in an excavation that they've done below ground level. And they're burying these people in the walls of those graves, like Kuchin, which is the way it was done years ago. And it's supposedly going to have 22,000 graves. I haven't seen it, but I know someone who did see it, and it's a fascinating project. What they're going to charge, it's a $50 million project to develop these graves. I imagine if they had all that land, they would not have been developing this. So I don't know what they have or they don't have.
So let me do the math, Rabbi Zon. It's 22,000 graves. It's going to cost $50 billion. That's give or take around $2,300 a grave. Those graves are going to sell for $25,000. Who keeps the difference between the $2,300 and the $25,000?
I have no idea, but I imagine the people who are developing it will be making a profit. And again, you're assuming that it's going to be $25,000. I don't know at that point if it'll be $25,000. I don't know. Business, and I have no idea.
Okay.
I ask the same questions. Yeah.
Rabbi, so do you think it's a job to say? You think it's unfair to say that, you know, people who are paying $25,000, and you say that's the cheapest one at Har Menuchas, many are paying $35,000 or $40,000, that there is a big profit element. Do you know, is it fair to say that there's a big profit element and it's possible that people are being gouged?
It's possible. I don't know. If, in fact, there are just a few graves available, then I can understand that they can't supply to the first person who comes along, so prices go up. It's true with everything that it's a small profit. That is a small quantity. It's true with real estate. It's true with everything. But, again, I don't know what it is. Fear, business practice, and what is above. I don't know. These are the facts. The fact is that everywhere in Eretz Yisrael, graves to people from Chutz Laretz is extremely expensive to buy. What I believe is a much bigger problem is the fact that cemeteries across the country in the United States are selling graves at $6,000 or $8,000 a kever, and that is causing people to choose cremation at a very high rate. That's a whole different issue because you're not dealing about people who are frum, and to them a grave is not that important. So it's a very big problem, and that is because these cemeteries very often are owned by people who are looking to make a profit, big conglomerates, and in places where there is almost no grounds left, the prices are going up. What is happening in Yerushalayim, I cannot answer if it's fair or unfair because I'm really not privy to exactly what's happening. They are very high priced. That's the bottom line.
But in conclusion, based upon your numbers, it would cost around $8,000 plus to $10,000 here in America, compared to around $40,000 bringing the body to Eretz Yisrael, bringing the nifta to Eretz Yisrael.
It could be as
and
much
for,
as
for Har Tamir.
If it's Eretz Fahar Tamir, it probably is that. For Eretz Achayim, you're talking about probably a total of $20,000 or even less. If it's done very recently, there's no Levaya here, it could be much less. And these are decisions that people have to make based on what they, you know, on what they feel is important to them. That's, you know, these are very big decisions. But again,
Rabbi Zon, thank you very much for your time.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you. Call to
So let me make a summary. Clearly, there are Rabbanim who hold that bring a burial in Eretz Yisrael is an Inyan Gadol. But there are many Rabbanim who are against it. A, for financial reasons. You know, those it's just simply, it's an Inyan Gadol, but it doesn't, like Rebbe Yashiv said, and we will post online all the letters. Rebbe Yashiv was asked, he said, if you can give tzedakah, you have a chi of mammon, you have chayvis, what do you do? He says, well, mitzvah saying the Torah. He says, burying in Eretz Yisrael does not say in the Torah. We will post this online, for, either for financial reasons. Some say for hashgafic reasons, the Zayar, which was what the Sat Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel Zecharon Livracha believed, which is why I think many Hasidim don't. And Reb Yankif, his Reb Henkin, for financial reasons too, he said, you're taking an almana, every mace has an almana or yasam or yasayman, you're disempowering them. And then lastly, Reb Yankif, a very powerful thing, he said, when you send the children, the parent away, you're cutting the Messiah somehow. You're damaging the Messiah. I could tell you my father was buried in Eretz Yisrael, and I think it was a grievous mistake. Now, so many times I would like to go be misfal by my father's kever, but he's 6,000 miles away. It's just not possible to do. So in conclusion, if you do it, you have who to be Simech on, but as many of the Rabbanim said, it's something that it started in the last 50 years or so. There is real no big body of halach on it, and it's gotten really, really carried away. I look forward to speaking to you next week. This is David Lichtenstein for Headlines Radio.